for ya.
Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Have you spoken to Connor? Do you plan to speak to Connor? Have you spoken to his people? Where are you with that?
Connor and I talked through text yesterday. Probably the obviously worst conversation we've ever had. But, yeah, we talked yesterday before he turned himself
in. Worst conversation.
Yeah,
it was bad. You mean that he didn't understand what had happened?
No, I don't believe he did.
Or the severity
it's not
of what
happened? It's not that I don't think he understood what happened. It's just he justified it. It was justified to him that, listen, I'm sorry about Mike and I'm sorry about Rose and whoever else might have whatever, but this had to be done.
And we're back on the Blitz. 713-780 ESPN is your number.
It had to be done. I had to throw a dolly through the window of a bus filled with people.
Yeah, had to be done. That always has to be done.
It's about honor and standing up for your friend. Who, by the way, apparently he's standing up for Artem Lobov, who, if you saw, I don't know if you saw the video of them in the hotel where Khabib's in this guy's face and he's got one hand wrapped around the back of his head and he's talking to him like a child and he's like patting him on the face like a little boy, telling him never talk about him again. The reason he was doing that is because Artem Lobov, who's a horrible fighter, by the way, and is only in the UFC because he's friends with Conor McGregor. Artem Lobov went on TV in Russia and called Khabib a lady part.
Meow.
Yeah. And so Khabib was just saying, hey, bro, if you want to talk that, let's be about that. And he said it in a cooler Russian accent. He said, don't you ever say my name. Don't you ever go on TV and say my name again. And then he patted him on the face. He said, I talked to him like a boy, because this is how he will understand, like a little boy. And so he got punked out. And Connor took offense to it. And I guess like a gang mentality, he had to go, he had to bring a group of 20 guys and step up for Artem Lobov, who now that guy's an idiot. I mean, he's off the card. My guess is he's out of the company. Like, he's got like his career record's like 14-13 or something. He's got no business in the UFC. And now he's this. I don't see why they would keep him around. It doesn't make sense. But yeah, it's a very. For him to say that it's justified, like Dana White to say that Connor was trying to justify it, it's because, well, he punked out my boy. I had to come to his defense. That's what friends do. That's what loyalty means. It's like, dude, if you wanted to fight him, you knew where he was. He would have been at the team hotel in 10 minutes. But you wanted to storm up and make a scene without really fighting. You wanted to scare people. And you messed up. You messed up.
A lot of speculation that the whole thing was a wrestling-type deal.
Yeah, I don't believe that speculation because it cost them four fights. There's down to nine fights now. There was 13 fights on this card two days ago.
Let's go over the ones that were lost.
The Artem Lobov's fight's off. He was supposed to fight Alex Kocaris. That's gone now because Lobov was out there with Connor during the melee. So he's off the card. Michael Chiesa was supposed to fight Anthony Pettis. He got his face cut up when the window busted.
Yeah, and I saw that the doctors just told him he couldn't fight.
He said that he was going to go. He went back to finish his weight cut and couldn't stop the bleeding. And when you're cutting weight, your body's very sensitive. You know, it's anything like that. Like, it's easy to get hurt. It's easy to get cut while you're cutting weight because your body's not operating at 100%. And this is the day before weigh-ins. This is like the hardest day of weight cut. So the doctors just said, you know what? This isn't going to work. We can't do it. So his fight's off. Ray Borg, who was supposed to fight Brandon Moreno, was sitting right next to Michael Chiesa. He got glass in his face At the time, he said he was okay because he wasn't cut. He went back to his room, started sweating, and started having serious eye irritations.
Uh-oh.
He had glass particles in his eye. So he's off the card now. And then they had to pull, because Ally Akinta, who's sitting at, because Max Holloway's off the card, Ally Akinta moved up to take Max Holloway's spot. And so his opponent, Paul Felder, who's also a 155er, so there were two 155ers that were available, Paul Felder and Anthony Pettis. Both their opponents got scratched, but they're teammates, so they didn't want to fight each other. So that makes four fights that had to get scrapped because of this melee in 24 hours.
Mm.
24 hours before, this card was trending to be their biggest event since UFC 205.
Yeah,
so
I saw that.
18 months. And now, I don't know how many people are going to buy this thing. To me, it's still interesting because anytime you get to watch Khabib fight, if you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It's very impressive. And the women's championship fight, it's interesting because it was one of the bigger upsets last time that Rose was able to beat Joanna. And Joanna gets her chance at a rematch and after her losing the first fight of her career. So there's still some interesting storylines. And then some of the guys that are on they got moved up to the main card. There's another Russian guy whose name is absurd. It's like Makhmedov Sharipov. I'm not even kidding. It's got like 52 letters in it. And
it's harder than Habib's?
It's worse, yeah. and he is fantastic to watch. And he's getting some bump now because his fight's getting moved up to the main card. But it lost some star power. I mean, Anthony Pettis is a big star. He's off the card. Michael Chiesa I wouldn't say a big star, but that was going to be an interesting fight. Michael Chiesa against a former champion and Anthony Pettis that's gone now. But the show must go on. And I just don't think that they would do something like that on purpose because it's going to cost them a lot of money.
Well, Connor might have done it on purpose to get attention.
Oh, okay. Well, guess what? That's going to cost him a lot of money too. Because
I don't think he cares now he's got his $100 million.
He might be giving a lot of that away. There's a lot of guys suing him. And he's got, now there's protective orders against him from a lot of these guys. Michael Chiesa, my guess is he's going to get paid way, way more for getting a busted up face from this than he would have had he gotten a busted up face tomorrow night in the octagon. He's about to sue the pants off this guy. And Ray Borg, imagine if Ray Borg has serious eye damage. You're talking like, you could sue for millions if that happens. It's a bonehead decision by Connor.
Yeah, it certainly didn't work out. Somebody sent us this picture of Tiger's mysterious new girlfriend, who's apparently a restaurant manager.
Tiger loves to pick him up at restaurants.
Yeah, not really impressed from what I've seen so far.
Okay.
I think it's a downgrade, but I probably...
A downgrade from Elon?
Yeah.
A downgrade from Lindsey Vonn?
Downgrade from Lindsey Vonn.
Ooh, okay.
I think he's kind of... Okay, that's two, and that one came at 5'11". Yeah, one thing I don't understand about golfers is we've got the Masters on, and Henrik
Stenson
tees off and then drops his club like he's pissed off, like it's a horrible shot. He landed right in the middle.
It wasn't that bad?
No. I mean, maybe it was a lot shorter than he wanted it to be. Maybe he just missed
it. Yeah.
But he's acting all dramatic.
If it goes in the middle, you can still fix it.
In the middle of the fairway, you're probably okay. But... Well, that's those Swedish guys.
Yeah, so volatile.
Yeah, I think you could probably beat the crap out of a Swedish guy. So Dale sent that to us.
Not Alex Gustafsson.
No, he's pretty good. Probably stay away from them. Lamont wanted to know, can the UFC sue Connor? But would the UFC sue him as well? Is he still technically under contract with him?
Yeah,
that's probably a breach.
I would guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I think at some point, I know the guy's a big star, but if he's not going to fight again, what the hell is he doing?
That's what I'm wondering. And like I said, if he was as interested in defending his belts as he is interested in defending his buddy, this wouldn't be a conversation.
Yeah, I just, didn't think he was going to fight again.
So why
should he get mad about having his belt stripped?
Yep.
You don't get to be champ if you're not going to fight. All right. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back on The Blitz. You know what I didn't realize? That poor Sergio's not even done.
He's only through
14 and he's 15 over. Tiger just birdied to get the 3 over. Here he comes. This is it.
He's making his move.
I need some Eagles.
and that would have been
you should have said that at the end of the segment so I could have worked into my live read. Way to go, John.
Yeah.
How many eagles do you need?
That would have been perfect.
At least three.
And don't look now, but my man Justin Thomas is now 2 under.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about this. All right.
Justin says Khabib is boring AF. Okay, Justin. I mean, this guy literally was on top of a man, punching him in the face, telling him that he needed to give up. He needed to quit. Like, this isn't like a guy who takes guys down. He takes everybody down. But he doesn't take you down to, like, just lay there. He beats the hell out of people. He landed the second most ground strikes, significant ground strikes, in the history of the UFC. When he fought Michael Johnson. I mean, it's a... If you find that boring, I don't know what to tell you. This dude is a monster. And Brandon says, kind of a novice MMA fan, is the fight worth buying now? Ally Kent is now in the main event. I'll buy it. I mean, mostly because, like I said, I'd like to see Khabib, and I think there's some interesting fights on the card. But I know that there's a lot of people who are going to buy it who won't now, which is fair.
Yeah, I was planning to. I'm kind of iffy on it now. I might still or go somewhere and watch it. It just depends. Okay. I have our culture map things to do this weekend.
Let's do it.
Find out how cultured we are. This is from culturemap.com, Houston. Well, this started Thursday. Hot cars at the Mecum auction. For the 7th consecutive year, Mecum Auctions returns to Houston. And will hold a 3-day auction where cars will be put up for auction. Apparently it's an auction.
I'm not doing that.
Jong?
No.
Okay. The Sugarland Wine and Food Affair. Well, it's Sugarland, so I'm not going. But
nope.
15th annual. Yeah, okay, we'll pass on that. Jong?
That's a no for me, dog.
Three plays in 3 nights at Match.
Nope.
The next iteration theater company has found 3 potent culturally charged plays. In Continuum on Saturday and Shiv on Friday. So I'm going to go no. No for Hoffman.
No for me.
Okay, we're not very cultured. So
no,
far.
This is not a good week for us.
Dr. Strangelove at Landmark River Oaks.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't want to go out to a movie I've already seen. That's a no.
No.
Okay, we're into Saturday. The Heart Made Art Market at Main Street District.
Nope.
It's presented by the Houston Downtown
Management
District.
You might like
District.
This, huh?
Well, I'm reading. The 3rd annual free outdoor event will feature the work of over 55 local artists, crafters, and creatives. And it's downtown. Yeah, I'm going to go with yes.
Okay.
Because I'm still looking to add more art. Giada De Laurentiis at Highland Village. One of the most recognized celebrity chefs out there. I've never heard of him. I'm going to pass.
Okay.
With Giada?
Giada De Laurentiis.
Isn't that the one chef on Food Network?
I don't watch Food Network.
He's
served up on such Food Network shows as Everyday Italian and Giada at Home.
Yeah, that's the lady that's slept or what was it? What's that one guy's that famous chef on Food Network?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Guy Fieri.
No, not him.
That's the only one I know.
Emeril.
No.
Because he owns the racehorses.
Keep naming.
Bam. What's the lady?
Wolfgang Puck.
What's the lady? The lady that cooks with all the butter, and she was
no,
like,
"No, no, no, no." This is
Martha Stewart.
Giada is a female.
Yeah, it doesn't mean she didn't sleep with a female.
Ah, damn, I forgot his name.
They ain't that famous then, Jung.
Yeah. So you're not going to see her. That's all
No, no, no.
All right.
Bobby Flay.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, yeah, we all have heard of him, too. Whatever. The Merchant Ivory in India series. With the news of filmmaker James Ivory, who just won an Oscar for writing Call Me By Your Name.
No.
I'm passing.
I wish I had a buzzer that would go.
Yeah. Yes.
I could just stop you as soon as I lose interest.
I guess I should see who wrote this today because, this is Craig Lindsay wrote this.
You know him?
No, I don't. But I think so far.
I'm going to buzz whenever I lose interest.
I think the only time I've had more than one was when Eric did it.
Yeah.
Because all right. So, John, you never answered that one. I'm guessing that's a no.
That's a no for me, dog.
All right. So far, I have one. You guys have zero.
How many are left?
One, two, three are left.
Okay.
Cecile Richards at Bayou Place. The daughter of Governor Ann Richards, President. Yeah, that's out.
Nope.
Big Taste of Houston. Lone Star is hosting the 6th annual Big Taste of Houston. The much anticipated food and beverage extravaganza showcases more than 25 of Houston's most diverse restaurants, bars, and talented chefs, all competing for the prestigious Judge's Choice Best Over. You know what this sounds like? This sounds like a Tastemakers thing.
I was going to say, it sounds exactly like Tastemakers.
Yeah. Look for celebrity judges Bun B, Chester Pitts, DJ Mr. Rogers, and Trey the Truth.
Damn, Bun B's going again?
Yeah. He's
out there. I feel like that place just ripped off Culture Maps event, and now Culture Maps promoting it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no. I'm a little offended by that.
Where is it at?
Audi Central Houston on 2120 Southwest Freeway. I don't know what that is.
At an Audi dealership?
Apparently so.
Interesting. Probably a no for me, but the food and drink thing kept me from buzzing it.
Yeah. It sounds interesting because we just enjoyed that. But
yeah, I just did that. I don't need that again.
Yeah. Okay, John.
No.
Right. And finally, tacos over Texas.
Oh, now I'm interested.
Oh, man, I may actually do this. This is Sunday, and it is at the original Ninfas on Navigation.
Okay.
2704 Navigation Boulevard. The event brings together top Houston chefs to share their cooking skills in a friendly taco competition honoring the legacy of Mama Ninfa Lorenzo. Tacos over Texas guests will enjoy a specialty taco from each chef, along with beer, margaritas, and live music. Tickets are available online from $40 to $200. The event runs from 12 to 4.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that's a real possibility.
I won't go.
But you probably would.
I would go if I didn't have anything going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go too.
I may actually go because that's
an event worthwhile.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't buzz that one.
So our culture scores are 2 for me, 1 and 1. We are not very cultured.
No.
But you can check out the list at culturemap.com. All right. We're going to take a break. You know what's coming up next?
RJ Bell.
Yeah, see, this is where you needed Eagles, John. This is where you needed Eagles.
Yeah. You need some Eagles from Tiger. I need Tri-Eagle Energy. With all those electric companies out there offering you these, special offers, we'll give you free weekends, we'll give you the free days, we'll give you a cash bonus. And then you say, oh, okay, that sounds great, and you signed up. And then you find out months down the road, you're paying a higher rate than you signed up for, or they're throwing additional fees on your bill. Nobody likes that. Tri-Eagle, they won't tolerate it. They keep it simple. The rate you see, it's the rate you will pay. Simple as that. No gimmicks. There's no minimum usage fees. No charges if you go over a certain amount of electricity. Just good, honest business from a made-in-Texas company, a born-in-Texas company, Tri-Eagle Energy. Give them a call at 877-93-EAGLE. Or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use the promo code ESPN. You'll get a discounted rate. That's 877-93-EAGLE or TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN. PUCT license number 10064.
Tricky, huh. ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. You know what that music means? It's time for the gambling guru of the universe. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. By the way, Tiger gave back that stroke on the next hole, so he's back to four. RJ Bell, what's going on, RJ?
Are you rooting for Tiger?
No.
No, Fred hates Tiger.
No, I love Tiger. I love Tiger from 10 years ago, though. This old Tiger that everybody kept trying to say, oh, he's back. I got nothing for him. I faded him in everything I did.
Yeah, I would say I probably bet more on this Masters than any golf tournament ever, because I did think there was so much, we won't call it dumb money, let's just say recreational Tiger money, that I thought there was some overlays with some other good golfers.
So who did you go with?
Well, you know what's funny? I was just looking at some, I don't watch every hole of any golf tournament. So I was just looking at the rundown and I was thinking like some really positive, like, oh, there's my guy. And then I noticed that one of the guys I faded, because what I, let me pull the picks up as we're talking here. So the rationale is this: I picked three guys who, to win, right? Spieth was one of them. So I was feeling pretty good after yesterday. Then, Rose was one of them, which, seems to be okay now. But then there was,
please be
and it will take me a second to get all my picks up. But there was a guy who was at the very top, and I'm like, oh, I was right about that one. But then I doubled back, and so actually the guy I had playing him is first right now. So it looks like I had like 10 different picks with 7 matchups. It looks like, you know, maybe a 4-3 at worst. So, you know, because Tiger's going to lose all of them. I had like 3 of the top guys against Tiger. So that's going to obviously look pretty good, I think.
Yeah, I did one of those draft things where the fantasy deals, and I basically stayed as far away from Tiger as possible. I mean, I didn't think he'd be competitive. So,
and I think what you're saying about the fantasy is something I just kind of realized. By the way, just to give you the info here, so against Tiger, I had Spieth, Rose, and Dustin Johnson. But then I faded Bubba Watson with Rose and Paul Casey. So Bubba really surged today. Then my big kind of underdog play was Mark Leishman. Is that how you say it?
Yeah,
Leishman?
He's second right now.
But I put him up against Reed and Scott.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Now, RJ, I'm kind of ignorant when it comes to betting, at least in Vegas, on golf. I know online there's a lot of those props, like this player versus this player. Can you go into a book and bet those, or is it just this is who you bet to win at this number?
No, you can at the bigger or at the books that embrace golf more. Yeah, they have a ton of matchups. That's where there's a real opportunity. I mean, it's tough with any futures market.
Yeah, it's tough to pick the winner.
Yeah, because it's one of those situations where you can be really sharp for a whole year and maybe not win one, right? If you're playing 20, 30 to 1. So what I tend to do is I'll have like a half a unit on some futures and then full, you know, 2 or 3 units on the matchups you like. Because not only can you fade a specific golfer, but you get to do a double handicap, right? In theory, now this is surprising with, you know, as we said, with how some of these guys are doing. But the guy I was, or a couple of the guys I liked had Leishman, but the Reed and Scott, they both thought would really struggle here. So I like the idea you can be high on one golfer and down on the other and then match them up. Not that you can match up anybody, but, you know, they have a good many matchups. The last thing I'll say about golf and what I never realized till now, let's think about daily fantasy in football versus sports betting in football. Okay, you like this tight end. You think he's going to score a bunch or have a bunch of yards. Yeah, that helps you a little bit in your handicap of the game. You might say, oh, I like the over because I think he's going to tear it up. But really, what's the correlation between that tight end and that team covering? Right? Not great. Now, on the other hand, golf is mano a mano, right? Man versus man. So if you're a fantasy handicapper who says, oh, I think that Tiger's going to do bad, but Rose is going to do good, that's exactly correlated, right? By doing bad or good, they're saying is going to be higher up on the leaderboard. So what I noticed is, because I really did a survey of the golf info out there, and I have pretty good instincts when I'm reading stuff that feels like it's accounting for what's already in the marketplace. You know, like, oh, this guy has four top tens in the last 20. It's like, everybody knows that, right? But when a guy starts talking about, well, he moves the ball left to right, so number 11 is not going to be a trouble hole. Now I'm figuring, okay, here's a guy that's talking about some stuff you just aren't hearing about from other people, or at least a lot of other people. And I found two or three fantasy guys that I thought, like, wow, if this guy was this good at the NFL, I'd be gobbling his stuff up every week. And this is golf, so it's so correlated to just making a bet on who's going to win. So I think if you like to bet golf, leverage some of these fantasy guys, and most of the stuff is 100% free.
Yeah, I don't pretend to be a golf genius, so I like to go to people who know what they're doing when it's sports that I'm planning on betting on that I don't really bet a lot, so that makes a ton of sense. So I'm noticing a lot of the futures bets, switching over to the NBA, that the Rockets and Warriors are virtually even now. Is that simply because Steph Curry injury and kind of all the injuries for the Warriors? Is that why people are betting the Rockets now?
Well, I mean, I don't want to bring it up and hurt AJ's feelings or not, but back when it was 5-1 and Golden State was -200, and I'm like, man, these teams look pretty even. And, you know, the theory was, and I think the theory is still there, is Golden State has another gear and maybe Houston doesn't. History says, right, with these players and how they're doing the playoffs and such. But I think what we now have come to see is it wasn't that Houston and Golden State's going to have equal seasons and thus the Golden State edge is their ceiling is higher. But Houston's had a season which is, you could almost make the case, two increments better than Golden State. And the one increment is clearly the better record, and they're going to have the home court. But the second increment is, with injuries that don't look like they're going to repeat themselves, when Houston didn't have their main guys on the floor, they played fine. But when they have had their main guys on the floor and they've been motivated, and, you know, obviously at the very end of the year here, you can question the motivation. I mean, could the case be made this is the winningest team in the NBA? I mean, what you guys probably have the numbers at your fingerprints or at your fingertips is, what is Houston's record when they're clearly motivated with all their team?
I think it's 40-2.
Okay. Has any team been 40-2?
I don't know. I mean, no. I wouldn't be able to tell you that, but I doubt it.
So some people could say the team that's entering, the Rockets team that's entering the playoffs, has performed at a higher level than any team in NBA history.
You could argue that, yeah.
So now the question is, do they stay healthy? All right, question one. Question two is playoff history for a lot of these players has been poor. How much of a detriment is that? Question three is, how much of another gear does Golden State have? And question four is, how much is that gear hindered Golden State's by the injuries? Because especially with Curry, who does seem to be, you know, fragile for an NBA player, when he starts, you know, 2 years ago, oh, Curry's fine. Oh, you know, in hindsight, he was about 70%. You know, it's easy to say that after, right? But especially with leg injuries, it seems like you get a right knee, then you get a left ankle, then you get the right ankle because you're compensating.
Yeah, but RJ, so, like you just said, Steph Curry's developed a reputation as being fragile. You want to check into who's missed more games in the last 5 years between him and Chris Paul?
No, agreed. I think, I mean, you're still holding on. You're like the Japanese guy in the islands fighting World War II still, right, in the caves. I mean, are you really? I mean, let's be candid now. The fact that they're even right now, even though Houston has played clearly better this year, acknowledges the fact that Houston has some injury risk, more than the average team, I think. And it acknowledges the fact Golden State has another gear and Houston maybe doesn't. But boy, oh boy, it's still a coin flip.
Well, RJ, would you say that, I mean, especially, you know, going back to 4 or 5 weeks ago, like we were talking about, and now they're even, and like you said, the narrative still probably remains that Golden State has another gear and things like that. Would you say that now there's value on the Warriors if they're at the same price as the Rockets?
Here's the question. And I'm going to answer this in two parts with a few visual aids. Oh, wait, that's not going to work. Is if we flip the laundry, if everything else was the same, meaning who's analogous to Chris Paul? Okay, we'll say Steph Curry. Okay, so Steph Curry missed some games early in the year, but then when he can't, you know, like everything's exactly analogous, but Houston's Golden State and Golden State's Houston. How much of a favorite would Golden State be if they, when they had their team together, were 40-2 and they're healthy right now?
You're talking about like...
And they have home court.
You're talking about if Golden State was 40-2 and healthy all year?
Yeah. I'm saying if the laundry, so meaning the shirt, the jerseys on their back flipped, and Golden State had exactly the year Houston has had, and Houston had exactly the year Golden State has had.
But Golden State has Chris Paul and James Harden on their team?
No. Oh, okay. Everyone's the same.
I thought you said the laundry's
the history. Okay. And really, when I say switch the laundry, I'm pretty much meaning let's assume this Houston team has Golden State's history.
Oh, so they've won two of the last three.
Exactly. And they have 73 wins under their belt and all this other stuff.
If Houston had won two of the last three titles and were doing what they're doing right now, they would be a runaway favorite, I would guess.
I agree.
They'd look something like what Golden State looked like two or three weeks ago.
I think you're right. So to me, if we're debating, is Golden State's upside, are Houston's questions being properly built into the number? Is I would say certainly, because they're not, Houston's not a runaway favorite. Like we said, it's even. So the idea that, oh, and this is your second question, is Golden State possibly undervalued? Wow, it seems like that they're getting the benefit of the doubt, Golden State is. Now, here's my last question. A lot of people are debating, because we do have 24-hour social media news cycles, a lot of people are debating is if Curry was smart to kind of give a built-in excuse for Golden State to do what they did this year. I mean, you're hearing people say, wait a minute, Curry kept saying, oh, it's hard to grind this year because of the past, and, you know, our team's going to get lose focus sometimes. A lot of people are saying him saying that excused it. Now, if that's true, does that mean maybe this team is not self-critical and thus is going to feel like, hey, yeah, we're here now. Now we can do our thing. Whereas if Curry would have kept cracking the whip, maybe there would have been a reaction or injury or something that put them in a much worse spot now. Because assuming Curry does come back healthy, you could make the case that come round two, Golden State's going to be at least in the best position they can be in, right? Relatively healthy, if not more than that. And the only difference is the number two seed instead of the number one. So in a weird way, if you think Curry is playing the long game and all the things that are causing us to doubt Golden State now is in a way purposeful, it's unavoidable because he'd rather feel the pain earlier in the year than he would in the playoffs, then I think you like Golden State. If you think this is, no matter what Curry said, this team is just in a year four or whatever, that it's going to be hard for them, almost like the Lakers against the Pistons, it's going to be hard for them to have a fever pitch, then I think you like Houston. My gut feeling is Curry's one of the smartest guys in basketball, and I really do believe that the pain that daily talk radio that has to feed the beast, right? Every day you got to talk about something for many, many hours, is it. He fed the talk radio beast, and I think if his team trusts Curry, maybe all that pain, quote-unquote, or the bad PR they've gotten this whole year pretty much is going to put them in a good position not to feel that pain in the playoffs. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think it's reading an awful lot into it.
Have you ever seen a coach that's excused his team more for not having a sharp year?
That's kind of a hard question to answer, because I'd have to go back and look specifically at you know, various teams and coaches, because I'm sure there has been, but I don't recall one off the top of my head. No,
I think Phil Jackson in different ways was the whole idea of the Zen master was everyone else is freaking out, but he's not. Right.
Yeah.
So it does feel like, why would Curry, do you agree with me? Curry is a top five head coach.
Steve Kerr.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Steve Kerr.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know because I've never seen him not have the best roster, but
They were 25-1 the first year they won it, entering the year.
Right.
So, I mean, he made them into the best. Remember, that's the same team that Mark Jackson got bounced from the playoffs pretty early the year before,
yeah,
right?
I mean, to me, the coaches that stand out as, like, real difference makers are Brad Stevens and Greg Popovich. And then beyond those two guys, I think there's a handful of guys. I wouldn't have a problem if you threw Steve Kerr into that mix.
So, assuming he's pretty good, what did he gain from excusing them this whole year like he has?
He doesn't gain anything except maybe, I can't think of anything that he would gain.
Except telling the team, really, this regular season doesn't matter all that much.
Well, and so that's a Popovich move.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. I followed the Spurs. Before Duncan retired, I had the ticket and, whatever it's called for the NBA, and I watched the Spurs pretty much every night. I think that's a total misperception. And you probably watched him just as closely. You certainly have over the years more than me. I did for about 2 years. I was following him really closely. It seems like to me that what Pop has done is be willing to sit guys in a given game, but with the players he's using that game, he wants to win as much as anybody. Right? There's no sense. Like, if someone's not trying and they're down 22. Exactly. So I do think your lineup versus your intensity during the game are two different ways where if you're not playing your starters, it's hard to win, right? And if you're not playing hard, it's hard to win. It feels like Golden State just wasn't playing hard this year a lot of the year, where I feel like the Spurs are playing hard every game. They just are playing different players.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair assessment.
All right. So my question is, if Kerr's kind of letting them float, the theory is they're going to wake up day one of the playoffs and it's like, all right, guys, you had this year halfway off. Let's go.
Now it's time to go.
And I don't know if it's going to work, but it seems like it's a plan.
Well, the only thing I would say as to why it could work, and I agree with you in that I don't know that it's the best idea, but at the end of the day, they've got the best players. And if the best players are what's going to win, then Golden State's got it. So if they want to underperform, and I really think since they realized that getting the one seed was basically not going to happen, they've gone into coast mode. I don't know if that's a smart play. I don't know. But I think that if I was going to choose any one team, it may be in history to find out with, I'd be comfortable doing it with this team that's got two MVPs on the roster, two of the best shooters in the history of the game, and the best defensive player in the league. I'd feel pretty comfortable rolling the dice with those guys.
Well, but this brings up another interesting point, and it does kind of butt against Villanova and the college game Monday. Guys I respect on the college basketball side, pregame.com guys, they tell me that part of Villanova's dominance, and they covered all six games. I mean, a dominant performance. And we look at our Vegas power ratings. We've got Villanova the third best team of the century, right? So, and actually KenPom has them third, and Sagarin has them third. So it's like pretty aligned up with the other rankings. Some of it is how good the players are, but some of it is that they are kind of more modern Villanova in their scheme than the other teams. And I think part of Golden State, a big part, was the scheme. And, we can sit and talk about how good Steph Curry is. I'm not sure how good he is. I mean, he's certainly a top 15 player. If you told me you had to play one-on-one, like there was some way where it's two-on-two and you got to play zone, and just some way where it was just how good you were, are you, like, super confident that Curry, obviously he can shoot, right? So could Chris Mullin. I mean, it's all relative, right?
Yeah, Curry but Chris Mullin couldn't shoot like Steph Curry shoots.
Yeah, but Chris Mullin was relatively that much a better shooter than the rest of the league in his time, and Curry is now. It's just the bar's been raised.
How many right? MVPs does Chris Mullin have?
It brings up that, boy, you took the bait. That's the point. In the schemes of 2018, those skill sets are so much more important. And give Golden State a ton of credit for that. They saw, you know, you can make the case. The Spurs saw it first. Well, you know, 7 seconds, you know, with the Suns and all that. And D'Antoni, you could say, saw it first. But the Spurs won with it first, right, when they beat Miami. It's kind of ironic is how they were spacing and shooting so many threes. Obviously, it keeps evolving. But I would make the case that Houston's a team that neither Golden State nor Houston has a big player skill advantage. Now, you might say Golden State has a small one. I'm not sure if you're right even, but let's say you're right. But I think Golden State has been lifted by having a player advantage plus a scheme advantage the last couple years. And now against Houston, I think they only have, if they do, a player advantage. Now, I think you take away the scheme advantage because Houston is just as modern. Now it's down to players and intensity. And I just wonder, are all of Golden State's players, I mean, is it a coincidence that a lot of their guys were like, you know, second round? You said that best defensive player. So you're talking about?
Draymond Green.
All right. Where was Draymond Green drafted?
Early second round.
Okay. So was everyone just playing wrong?
Yes.
Yes, somewhat.
Yeah.
Some. But you think if Draymond Green went to the Phoenix Suns right now or went to the Lakers, he would be a top 10 player in the league? Not defensive, but player in the league?
Oh, no, not a top 10 player in the league, but he'd still be one of the two or three best defenders in the league.
But how good is Draymond Green now?
Draymond Green significantly boosted by the talent around him, I believe. But just like all of them are, just like Klay Thompson is. You know, like Klay Thompson's the second best shooter in the league. And he looks even better because he plays with the best shooter in the league. So, and vice versa, I would guess, for Steph Curry.
That's kind of my point, is I feel like in the Houston series, for the first time, Golden State wouldn't necessarily have a schematic edge, a system edge. And if we assume that system edge has artificially boosted up our perceptions of Golden State, the players, I wonder if Golden State really does have better players than the Rockets this year.
All right. Well, we'll have to continue this next week. I think you.
I don't think we'll know until the Western Conference Finals. I still contend that it's hard for me to argue that, you know, what would Clint Capella be if he wasn't on the Rockets? I mean, you could say that about all these guys, but I still think I'll take talent man for man. I think the Warriors are a better team.
Now we got home or Houston has home court. So
I don't care about
a little.
That.
You don't care about it. So game seven
that's,
at home.
That's one
Vegas
game.
Certainly does.
Oh, the home court's about one game.
But, yeah.
How many game but sevens? In did, how many game sevens did the Warriors four, see in the playoffs four. Last year?
All right, guys, we've gone way over. We got to go to break. So well, you guys can pick this up next week. All right, RJ.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, man. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Stairway lies on the whispering
wind. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.